Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
We welcome you into the Cross Country Mortgage Campus here in Berea. This is the best podcast available, and the 2024 NFL Draft is officially in the books with maybe the longest day three that I have done in 12 years, joined by staff writer Kelsey Russo, who I think has experienced her first, and if she comes back next year after this day, she deserves a medal for this. Uno had his head on his desk. He was sleeping during the end of the draft. I don't know what was going on, but the draft is over, and it's time for us to break it down here on the best podcast available. Kelsey, let's get down to it. Are you surprised that this team made all six picks?
When I was thinking about this at first, my initial thought was yes. But then when I honestly took a second to think, yes and no. When I went back and kind of looked at AB's history of drafting, he's traded the last two second rounders that they had the last 2 years. The seventh rounders I wasn't expecting us to take. But then when looking at the 2025 picks with the multiple six round picks, it kind of made sense that they stayed where they were at because of what is to come and, being able to move around. Maybe what I was thinking was that they would have packaged some of those and moved up in the draft or different spots, but in the end it kind of does make sense just kind of considering their future. So yes and no.
Yes, I'm going to have a conversation with our general manager on the number of seventh round picks that he chose to keep, but that'll be a conversation for another day. But they do make all six picks, and he doesn't make any trades on draft weekend, and we've got six new football players, and obviously there'll be more added as we go. The undrafted free agents, the scouts burning up the phone lines. I've seen Mr. Cooper go by, our capologist. Andrew Berry, quickly, as soon as he was done with this press conference, going back to his office. Still some work to be done on this roster, and he did say that in his press conference post-draft, along with head coach Kevin Stefanski. Still plenty of work to do. But we do have six draft picks, and it starts off in round number two on Friday night, pick number 54. According to Dane Brugler, the fifth best defensive tackle in this draft, Mike Hall Jr., not Michael, Mike
yes.
Hall Jr. from The Ohio State University, now a Cleveland Brown. Your one thought on Mike Hall Jr.?
So, yes, one thought. He is...
You can pull a Zagura. Zagura sometimes has six or seven for the one
okay.
thought.
Okay, they all kind of go together.
Perfect.
So, one big thought. I really liked what Andrew Berry had to say yesterday about Mike in the sense that he's tailor-made for this attack-style defense. Just someone who's explosive, he's quick, and how he can rush the passer. Glenn Cook also described him as a shapeshifter, which I really loved, just his ability to attack the quarterback, I think, is something that on the interior the Browns could really use. And today, Berry added to that saying just his ability to rush just as from a physical standpoint, but also his feel as a rusher, I think, is a really unique skill set that they can use from a young guy.
And he's battled a couple injuries. And we're going to have to work through that. I think maybe some opportunities are going to come with all six of these guys on special teams.
Yes.
You're going to make your mark early. It's probably going to be on special teams given how deep this roster is. But, you've got some older guys on that defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody came back, which is awesome. And I couldn't be happier about that. But you do have to have an eye on the future. And Ika last year and now Mike Hall Jr. this year, I would think, would lead you to think that these are the guys that they're grooming to eventually take over some of those spots.
Yeah, and they can learn from, guys like Miles, like Mo, who came back, Zadarius, all those guys that have really just created this defense that they had last year. You know, they can learn, they can see how this works and find their way in the NFL, which I think is a really good opportunity for them.
I mean, and this is a guy that in early mocks a month ago probably was in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
Now he goes in the second round at pick number 54. On to the third round we go, and at pick 85, the Browns go get a guard. And it's been a little while since we've gone after a guard in this draft, but they do, and they go to the University of Michigan and defending national champ Zach Zinter with pick number 85, 6'5", almost 6'6", 309 pounds. He's been through the building on Saturday, got a chance to sit down with him. Very, very impressive young man, and a guy that's going to get a chance to learn behind some really good players. And again, this pick maybe with an eye more toward the future.
I think that was kind of the thinking behind it, especially because he's coming off that leg injury that he endured against Ohio State last year, you know, breaking the fibula and tibula.
The hands of our defensive tech.
Yes, which was crazy. They talked about that today. Just kind of how crazy it is, the fact that that happened, and now they're both here with the Browns. But what I thought really stood out to me today was the fact that he was talking about how he's fully cleared, he feels really strong, that he's made a lot of progress, and that he feels confident that he'll be here ready for rookie minicamp later this month, which I think is a really big deal for him to be able to acclimate super early with this team. And the thing that really stood out to me from Andrew Berry was saying that he's an excellent pass protector, which I think is something that on that offensive line, you know, from a young guy, that he can learn, can grow, and really add to this offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I think he and Wyatt Teller are going to hit it off. It mm-hmm. could be a very dangerous combination, the two of them together, between the hunting, fishing,
yes.
the love of the guns. But clearly, here's a guy that has a lot of upside, a leader. Mm-hmm. I think Andrew Berry was quick to point that out on Friday night. Blue collar, but a guy that knows how to work, wants to work, and wants to be a key member of a football team.
Heartbeat of the culture at Michigan was how he was described. So I think that's a really cool trait for him to bring here.
Absolutely. All right, on to Saturday, and the longest day maybe that I've had in 12 years. We did a draft show for 3 hours. We did not make a pick.
That is crazy.
We're going to kind of need to tweak that next year. But I never thought that that would actually be the case. But the draft seemed to come to a crawl mm-hmm. in the fourth and fifth rounds, which I could not figure out for the life of me. There was a lot of trading. There was a lot of moving around. There were a lot of – this draft was a draft with a lot of runs.
Yes.
Wide receiver or defensive tackle or corner, or then the running backs went.
Mm-hmm.
It just came in bunches. But the Browns had to wait till the fifth round, and at pick 156, Jamari Thrash, wide receiver from Louisville. However, before that, at Georgia State.
Yes.
And then entered the transfer portal after 4 years, but made his mark at Louisville. Wasn't recruited by any of the Power Fives, but then had his pick of the Power Fives when he left Georgia State.
Yeah, and the Browns really see him as a receiver who can be productive both inside and outside, which I think is a really unique aspect of his skill set, and a solid playmaker with the ball in his hands. And Andrew Berry, again, described him as an outstanding separator, which I think for a wide receiver is a really good trait to have, especially with this offense. So I think he has an opportunity to develop under, you know, guys like Amari Cooper, like Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, who can really find his way and learn the nuances of the league, the nuances of route running in the NFL, and develop into, you know, a good wide receiver.
Well, I mean, and you take a look at the wide receiver room, and now you've got 9 wide receivers.
Yes,
it's a very, very crowded wide receiver room. The one thing he doesn't have a lot of experience in is special teams, which I was a little surprised by.
Yes.
But, again, here's a guy, like everybody else that was drafted here this weekend, they're going to have to find a way and make their mark in special teams sooner rather than later if they want to get on the field.
He said he was a gunner at Louisville, so which I think is a cool element on special teams that he can bring and really dive into to find that role, especially early on.
Yeah. I think the other interesting thing, when he transferred into Louisville, 7 of the first 8 games, he led the team in receiving.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And then a broken hand he had to fight through for the last month of the year. But a guy that made his mark in an ACC situation. So a guy I think that definitely bears watching because he has the speed, but he also has the ability to go and get the football, which is something I think that this team is going to need here. They're going to need someone to stretch the field to allow Judy and Cooper and Njoku to go underneath and make the plays that they do. So on to the sixth round we go. Nathaniel Watson, linebacker, Mississippi State. There were some questions. I know Andrew Berry said we were very comfortable with the person, the player, obviously, they were comfortable with as well. But Nathaniel Watson from Mississippi State, linebacker, you know, he made some plays in 23. I think he led the SEC in tackles. So here's a guy that, we needed another linebacker, you go and get some youth there.
And, you know, one of the traits that, you know, one of the scouts talked about with Watson was his toughness and intelligence at that linebacker position. That's what really drew them to him. And, you know, he's really good in the run game, particularly with his strength. And I think one of the things that Andrew talked about as well was, you know, with the changes in the kicking game, that maybe some guys that have that size could be necessary. And so again, another opportunity for somebody on special teams to find their mark with their skill set. So those were kind of those elements that really stood out about Watson that drew them to him.
I think the other thing to note is every year AB and coach, they go and they get a guy from the Senior Bowl. He was a top linebacker on the American team at the Senior Bowl. He's got great genes. He's got a great uncle and an uncle that both played in the league. I remember Tommy Agee with the Cowboys winning Super Bowls in 92 and 93. I'm old. It happens. but, I mean, here's a guy that, again, if you look at – if I can pull up the linebacker room here in my notes, you know, we lost some guys.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a leadership void. And, I mean, JOK and Jordan Hicks are going to be counted on heavily. Devin Bush is, I think, a wild card. But if he can play the way he did when he was drafted, I think the sky's the limit for him. But this is a guy, along with Tony Fields, that you can continue to develop into some big-time players, potentially.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely agree.
All right, on to round number seven and two picks. We don't need this. Two picks in the seventh round.
We need answers.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes, we do. However, they get a corner. And we had been told leading up to the draft, day three, there's going to be a lot of corners available. And they go and get Miles Harden, a corner from South Dakota. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so AB was talking about how his instincts and versatility really stood out about what he can bring to that, or with his skill set to that group. And I really think it's an opportunity to develop a young guy behind somebody like Greg Newsom, behind somebody like Denzel, who can grow and find his role. But I think, you know, that versatility is a good trait for him to have with a secondary and being a young guy in that mix.
Yeah, I think that they're 5'11", 195 pounds. It's interesting. We've had the conversation all weekend about age. Because normally you're drafting guys, you're trying to draft guys that maybe are a little younger. This team has done that. But the COVID era has pushed the age limit up.
Yeah.
And he's 23 years of age. He had plenty of opportunities to leave. Was very loyal to South Dakota because they gave him a chance and said, I'm staying here and I'm going to play out my career here and get my degree. I think he's a fascinating prospect because Dane Brugler had a fifth round grade on him.
Yes.
And there were other guys from an analyst standpoint that had him with a much higher grade. And there were a lot of teams that were circling the wagons. They thought he could be one of the higher undrafted draft picks to go after. So We've seen a lot of buzz about Miles Harden, but a guy that could fit right into this room, and Cam Mitchell's in his second year.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Denzel, you've got Emerson and Newsom, but you got to build depth behind.
And we saw, too, I mean, you think about it, a lot of it with injuries with that the Browns dealt with last year. I think a lot of that is a part of this, of just building depth, because you don't know what's going to happen. And obviously you're hoping nobody gets hurt, but you can't predict what happens. And so having guys that can step in like we saw last year, this is kind of another opportunity for somebody in case that does happen.
Yeah, and we talked about it with all six guys needing to play special teams, mm-hmm. but there's a chance. I mean, we went through five quarterbacks.
Right.
We went through how many running backs? Like, there are possibilities for all of these guys to play mm-hmm. at some point or another. You hope that's not the case from an injury standpoint, but if you're on the 53-man roster on this football team, you need to be ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
And this coaching staff's proven that they can get everybody up for the task and up for the challenge. Final pick, seventh round, pick 243. Jawan Briggs, defensive tackle, Cincinnati. I got a little flyer right before we went on, but otherwise, I don't know a lot about him, but you've already written about him on ClevelandBrowns.com.
Yes, wrote a little bit, did a lot of research in the moment because I also did not,
did not know.
But he's a local guy. He's from Cincinnati, he started off at Virginia and then transferred and finished his collegiate career at Cincinnati. Okay. So that's a cool element to him as a person. He can, you know, again, another guy that can develop under this veteran defensive line. One of the things that Andrew Berry talked about with his skill set is his movement ability. And I think that is an element that they can, you know, really foster and develop over time of how he fits with this defensive line. You know, he was a team captain in 2023. He tallied 27 tackles and six tackles for loss last season. And he also earned all Big 12 honorable mention accolades. So, you know, I think there's some elements there. His coach also reached out and said that, you know, he was really excited that the Browns drafted Jawan, and just, you know, that he got this opportunity for his family, for him, and that he sees him, you know, that he could have an impact with the Browns early on because he was a pro while in college. And so I think that's a really cool testament to hear about his character from his coach, especially for a late round guy like that.
So those are the picks in the 2024 NFL draft for your Cleveland Browns. The one pick that you think helps this team the most in 2024.
So I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
I do think it's Mike Hall. I think that is the guy, you know, even as a young player, he's 20, you know, so he is young. And even with so many veterans on that defensive line, but I think the way that defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz like rotates the guys on that defensive line, and knowing that Schwartz was so excited that they drafted him, like so
you don't
excited.
See a lot of emotion.
No,
but he walked by our window last night, and we were like, okay, so they went defense.
Yeah,
he
was
clearly
he was excited, and so I think that those elements, you know, I think he could find maybe, you know, obviously not going to be a starter, but finding finding those opportunities that he can have an impact early on. I see that as just, he has that opportunity to have an impact next season.
It's okay. You should have seen me earlier trying to talk. It was pretty impressive. On the defensive line, it's all about rotation with this football mm-hmm. team. So, I mean, you could get in a rotation that has seven guys getting snaps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, definitely an opportunity for him to work his way in right away and make an impact on the interior of mm-hmm. that defensive line. Is there a position on this team you'd still like to see addressed?
Yes. I think there's kind of two for me, okay. Honestly. I think tight end, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, that group is led by David Njoku, who had a stellar 2023 season. And, you know, they went and signed Giovanni Richie in free agency, and you have Jordan Akins in that group as well. But I think there could still be some depth there, especially if there's different ways that they could use two tight ends in their offense, as we've seen in the past. And so I think that could be some depth. The other one I was thinking about too is running back. They did not take a running back in the draft. While they did sign some guys in free agency, I still think there are some questions
absolutely
about that group, especially not knowing completely, you know, Nick Chubb's health. Like, obviously, they believe he's on track and he's trending in that direction, and that's awesome. That's what they want. But you just don't know until
And Nyheim Hines is coming back from injury as well.
As well, yes, exactly. And so, and obviously, like, you know, Jerome Ford had a stellar 2023 season stepping into that featured back role. Pierre Strong Jr. had those moments where he was able to come in and have an impact. And so, but I think there's still an opportunity there to add depth to round out that position. And I know they also signed Deonta Foreman. But still, I think there is that opportunity to find some depth there, just not knowing and being able to find a rotation that works well, like if guys are, you know, just kind of depending on how the season plays out with that group. So those are kind of my two that I was thinking about.
I think that's a good move. I wonder if the Browns had had a fourth-round pick if they don't go tight end or running back in that. Because that's where you saw the run on both those positions, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the tight end one especially was Zaire Mitchell-Payton, too. He's a great blocker. Fascinating to see how that room plays out. I mean, I think Akins would tell you that he didn't have the kind of year I think he was hoping to have.
Absolutely.
Maybe he gets some more opportunities with Harrison Bryant now gone. Something to watch for sure, especially at the tight end position. Mm-hmm. So, in 2025, never too early. I mean, our according to the scouts, they start on Monday working through that. They own picks, their own picks in picks one through rounds one through four and round six. They have 3 6th rounders and they have 1 7th. Thank God.
Back in the first round.
And more importantly, back in the first round.
So, Thursday night activity. We'll be ready to go.
I won't know what to do.
No, same.
Well, and we were talking about it. Like, we haven't had one for 3 years. But really, we haven't had one for four of the last six because we didn't have it in 19 because of the Odell trade.
Right.
So then we had 20 with Wills and 21 with Newsom. That's it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a while since we've had a first-round pick.
Wow.
And the excitement that goes around with having that first-round pick. So appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is time to go celebrate the weekend, and we'll leave it at that. Want to thank Jacob Griffin and Jacob Malencik for their help. For Kelsey Russo, I'm Jason Gibbs. You can like and subscribe today to the best podcast available wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/Browns. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to the best podcast available.